Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Spring is in the air, which means nest-making season is upon us. Birds build their nests out of everything, from twigs and mud to spider silk. Some birds don't even build a nest, and the places where they build them can vary drastically. For this month's Chirp Chat, Lake Effect's Excret Nunez spoke with Holly Walls, a park naturalist with the Ware Nature Center. Walls explains the role nests play and the different types of nests that birds in Wisconsin make.
For today's episode, we'll be talking all about bird nests, but before we dive in, can you explain generally what birds use nests for?
Oh, yes. You know, that's a great question because birds don't really have houses. They use nests for protection for their young. It's all about reproduction. So it's a very energy expensive process. So they have to have fat reserves. They have to have been eating well and getting the right nutrition before they can reproduce. So when they start building a nest, they might do that together with their mate, or they might do it alone and then attract a mate. It depends on the species. So that's their signal sometimes that they are ready to have a nest, have young.
And so once that nest is built, how do they protect their homes, essentially?
Oh, lots of different ways. So we know there's many different species of birds. There's probably just as many ways of protecting their nests, all the way from like a great horned owl puffing up its feathers and maybe swooping at you, raising their horns, which are their feather tufts on the top of their head. Anyone who's walked around a pond when red-winged blackbirds are nesting knows that they can swoop at your head and they have sharp claws. maybe get pecked. Wear a hat during that time of year. And some other ways are like a shorebird, like the killdeer, will pretend to have a broken wing and draw the predator away from the nest, making noises, you know, making alarm calls so that it draws the predator away from their nest, which is basically just their eggs on the ground.
Yeah, I didn't know that about killdeer. I didn't know that about red-winged blackbirds. And I actually met a birder once that goes out birding with a helmet on to protect their head from the dive bombing. So as we'll learn, there are dozens of different types of nests. But I guess, why is that? Why don't birds just stick to using sticks?
Great question. I think the biggest reason is because birds evolved in different places and in different ways. And they were able to evolve in the different places using different materials, utilizing different prey, and living in different environments. So the shorebirds living on the beach, they don't really perch in a tree. They wouldn't gather sticks to take up into the tree to build a nest. So instead, they lay their eggs on the ground, and their eggs are camouflaged into, for instance, rocks around the beach or the sand. And then you move into a forest area and you have robins who have access to mud and worm castings and grasses and twigs that they use to build their nest. So different habitats warrant different types of nest building.
Yeah, adapting to their environment. And so similar to the Ware Nature Center and many different nature centers, there are also bird boxes around. What is the purpose of a bird box? Is it just an alternative to using a nest?
Yes. Nest boxes can be an addition on your property if you don't have tree cavities that a bird can come along and use. Of course, you want to look and find out what type of birds are visiting your yard before you put up a certain type of nest box. You wouldn't put up a wood duck nest box if you don't have water nearby. And you want to make sure that you have the right type of nest box for the bird that you're trying to attract. Some birds cannot fit through a certain size hole, for instance. And you might want that to exclude certain birds from nesting in your nest box. You may not want to have house sparrows nesting in your yard if you're trying to attract wrens, for example, or if you're trying to attract chickadees. So there are certain different type holes that you want to have in your nest box.
Absolutely. And since we are talking all about bird nests, I do think it's important to emphasize that people should leave nests alone. It's nice to admire, but can you speak to that?
Yes, I can. I mentioned earlier that it's very energy expensive for birds to lay eggs and reproduce in general. So if you do see a nest, it's okay to look at it a little bit, but when you repeatedly come back to a nest, there are certain types of predators that actually follow human scent. Cats and canids, like coyotes and dogs, they could, you know, eat the birds in the nest just because you had walked there. So it's a good idea to not revisit a bird nest once you've seen it. And the Migratory Bird Treaty Act says that without a permit, we cannot possess or move or destroy bird nests. So birds are protected, so their nests must be left alone.
Well, I would love to dive into some of the common types of bird nests. And I want to start off by asking you if you could describe a cup nest.
Yeah, so a lot of birds build cup nests. The cup is shaped by the female bird's body. It is fashioned that way so that the eggs are kept warm enough and most protected. Birds like goldfinches and northern cardinals and American robins, they all build cup nests, but they all use different types of materials according to where they live. The goldfinch, they live in the grassland, so their cup nests are made out of plant fibers and different types of downy seeds. And northern cardinals build cup nests out of twigs in the forest as well.
So when I like to think about cup nests too is, you mentioned all of these different types of birds is also like the varying of sizes of birds. It's not just, oh, medium-built birds. I think of like ruby-throated hummingbirds. Do
yes.
they build cup nests?
They do. They do. I was fortunate enough one summer to see a hummingbird building her nest.
Oh, how cool.
And the way I noticed it was there was a branch of an evergreen tree that was moving back and forth in the air, and there was no wind, and I thought, what is going on? So of course I had my binoculars. I was sitting outside and I looked over there, and it was a hummingbird tugging on a spider web.
Wow.
And I followed the hummingbird as it flew over my head over to a tree, and she was building her nest. They start with thistle down or cattail down or dandelion fluff. And then they hold it together with spider webs and possibly even pine resin. And then they build it around themselves as they're sitting in the nest. So she would sit and then put the nest materials around her and mold it with her wing and with her neck until it resembled a cup.
That's amazing.
And then it's almost like they decorate them with lichen and moss and different colorful greens on the outside, and the outside of the nest is stretchy so that when the young get bigger, it holds them in like a stocking.
They're so smart.
They are.
Well, let's talk a little bit about weaving nests. You mentioned them earlier. Yeah, tell me a little bit about how those are built.
Yeah, so red-winged blackbirds, I like to find their nests because they're really just kind of hammocks hanging over the water. They build them with wet vegetation, grasses, cattails, anything that's been soggy for a while, and they weave it in between plants that are in the water or very close to the water. As those plants dry, it just holds into a great little hammock, little nest that she can sit in and disappear. The female red-winged blackbird is brown and speckled and not at all like the male. She just is so camouflaged. She blends right in.
Wow. Another nest that I for the first time saw last year, maybe I've seen them before but never really noticed them, was a mud nest. Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Now, was this mud nest on a building?
It was.
Okay, so we're probably talking about a barn swallow. And they like to build their nests in buildings that humans have built and outside, under the eaves, along a beam, anywhere where they can stick some mud. Sometimes they'll coil up some grass inside of the mud. Can you imagine carrying all of that nesting material, mud in your beak, in your mouth, up to the eaves of the building? And they'll even reuse their nest that they've built. It's so energy intensive. So if there are no parasites or mites in their nest, they'll reuse the same nest in another year just by removing any feathers or previous year's nesting materials inside.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
Resourceful.
Yes, recycling at its best.
And another type of nest that you also alluded to earlier were cavity nests. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about those?
Yeah, we have a lot of standing dead trees, which we call snags. And a lot of birds will utilize a hole in a tree. They'll either enlarge it with their beaks or they'll make their own in the case of woodpeckers. If the wood is really soft, a chickadee can hollow out their own nest. They are cavity nesters as well. And sometimes they line those nests with plant materials and feathers, but sometimes they just leave the wood chips in there and lay their eggs right on the wood chips in the case of a red-bellied woodpecker. So that's a good way for their young to be protected from the elements and from predators as well.
I'm thinking of the pileated woodpecker and how I've never seen one before, actually. But noticing and like learning this little tidbit about nests and seeing a certain like oval, long-shaped cavity in a tree, I'm like, okay, there's a pileated woodpecker nearby, but I haven't been able to see one.
Oh, I hope to get to see one. We have had pileated woodpeckers sighted at the Nature Center, and there are a few of those elongated holes. They use those for feeding, though. They're cavities for nesting. They can be more round than their feeding holes, but actually they travel to the forest at Ware and also to the forest on the golf course. So they were sighted at Ware several years in a row. Someone just recently said that they thought they saw it, but they didn't have their binoculars. So
that's so neat, though. I'll have to go out on my own birding exploration here at the Ware Nature Center. And we also talked a little bit about scrape nests. Mm-hmm. I know that wild turkeys make scrape nests, but can you talk about them?
Yeah. So we have wild turkeys at the Nature Center too. They do not much of nest building. I wouldn't call them lazy. It's just that they're ground nesters. And maybe there's just not much that they can gather around. So they'll scrape away the leaves that are on the ground and lay their eggs there. They're perfectly camouflaged to blend in with the surroundings. So they build a type of scrape nest. Another bird I can think of at the Nature Center is the American woodcock, who also builds a scrape nest. So it's nothing more than just scraping things out of the way and laying the eggs right there.
And the last nest I have on my list is stick nests. Mm-hmm. What is a stick nest and what kind of birds build those?
Well, I want to think about the biggest stick nest that I can think of, which is the bald eagle's nest. And the bald eagle's nest can be 5 or 6 feet in diameter, and they build it together. The male and the female will build the nest together, and they'll bring the sticks in. In the gaps, they'll put mosses and plant material, even corn stalks in between to shore it up. And some of these nests are so big. There's one that I know from St. Petersburg, Florida, because I used to live there, that weighed over 300 pounds.
Oh my God.
So, you know, they're big birds and they have to have a big nest. Other types of stick nests I can think of local are Cooper's hawk nests. They look like a cone upside down in a tree, and they're pretty big. They're at least a foot across, and they're entirely made of sticks. And if you ever get the chance to watch a pair of Cooper's hawks building their nests, it's kind of funny because the male will bring sticks and the female will place them in the nest. And sometimes the male will bring a stick and put it in the nest and she'll move it because she doesn't like where it was, where he put it. And sometimes I've seen her drop them out of the nest because she doesn't like them at all. So sometimes the stick nest building can be kind of a pair bonding as well.
Yeah, I think what I love about, you know, it's really fun to have been talking about nests, and I think it's just a good reminder to just sometimes pause and observe what's going on around you and to notice these really cool behaviors from birds and appreciate them. Yeah, I think they're just really smart creatures. So.
They are, and it's a great distraction.
Absolutely. Well, we've already reached the end of Chirp Chat, but at the end of every Chirp Chat, I love for guests to shine a spotlight on a bird for the month. So Holly, what's a bird you'd like to highlight this month?
Oh my goodness, it was so hard to choose. I think that I would have to say the sandhill crane. They're large, they're elegant, they dance. They mate for life. They're millions of years old. Their fossil record dates back over 2.5 million years, but ornithologists and other scientists think that they may have existed as many as 6 million years ago. So they're really dinosaurs walking around us. And they signify spring. When you hear sandhill cranes, you know it's right around the corner.
Just for fun, what kind of nests do sandhill cranes build?
Oh, well, sandhill cranes build a nest in a wet area. I'm lucky enough to participate in the crane count every April. It's kind of my birthday present to myself. And we go out to Vernon Marsh and count sandhill cranes calling to see how many are nesting there in the area. And I have only been lucky enough to see a sandhill crane nest once. And it was in the Vernon Marsh. And it looks like a hummock. So it's a bunch of plant material that they heap together, and then the female will make a cup in the center of it with her body. So it just looks like a mound in the middle of the marsh. It's hardly even visible.
Well, Holly, thank you so much for helping me learn more about the beauty of bird nests. I think this is really fun. I had a lot of fun.
I did too. Thank you for asking me.
Holly Walls is a park naturalist with the Ware Nature Center, which is a division of the Milwaukee County Parks Department. She spoke with Lake Effects expert Nunez for a monthly series we call Chirp Chat.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.